Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. Welcome back, Rock Movers. Today's guest is going to help you move some rocks that you didn't even know were rocks you needed to move, because he just sees life through a beautiful new lens. And he is the amazing Liam Naden. Liam is a trailblazing coach who brings together cutting-edge neuroscience, psychology, and down-to-earth strategies to help people unlock their true potential, conquer challenges, and live a life of purpose and balance. His unique approach gets to the heart of how to succeed without the constant struggle. Liam is also the host of Let Yourself Off the Hook podcast and coaching program. He went from being a millionaire to losing everything virtually overnight and becoming homeless. He's now bounced back, moved that rock, and is on an amazing life journey, traveling the world, living on his yacht or in a motorhome, waiting on his next boat, and now embarking on new adventures, exploring Europe. I am just so honored to have this conversation with you today, Liam. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rock Movers.
Thank you, Karen, and I'm really honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm excited because this is, as I told you before we jumped on, this season is all about men who are moving rocks, and moving rocks for other men, but also for women. And with your coaching program and what you do and our little pre-conversation call, you've already helped me see things a little differently. So I'm going to make sure that you say that again, because what you told me was such a reframe and such a gift, quote unquote. So go ahead and share a little bit about your life, but I want to go back to that present that you mentioned.
Sure. Well, you know, we've all got challenges in our life, don't we? Uh-huh. And the big challenge for me was when I lost everything and became homeless, as you mentioned. And, you know, before that, I'd been somebody who was committed to being successful and to having a great mm-hmm. life. I didn't want to just have an ordinary life, and I was prepared to do whatever it took in an ethical way, of course, nothing illegal yes. or underhand. I was prepared to put in the effort to try and really live my dreams, to live a great and exciting life. And so I went down the track of being an entrepreneur and having my own mm-hmm. businesses. You know, I've had 18 different businesses throughout my life so far. Wow. Not that I'm that old, but anyway. So I had all these businesses and I became really successful. And I also studied success. You know, I was the one who went to all the seminars, read all the books, did all of the courses. And I had an amazing collection of, you know, what was then tapes and recordings and books. And I'd been, you know, seminar notes on everything I could figure out. If anything I could find that if I thought it could help me be better, be a better version of myself and experience more joy and happiness and fulfillment in my life, I went for it. So I studied self-help and personal development and, you know, goal setting, motivation, spirituality, meditation, changing your beliefs, changing your subconscious mind. I used to listen to these recordings and do all sorts of things. And I did become, on the outside, really successful. I became a millionaire. But, you know, there was a particular day when I remember this really clearly, because what I was actually doing was I was putting the finishing touches on my dream home. You know, it wasn't quite finished being built, but it almost was. And one of my dreams that I'd always had in my dream home was to have a music room, because I'd been a musician earlier in my university days. And I always had this thought, if I've got my own music room and I can go there and play music, wouldn't that be wonderful? So this particular day, I went into the music room and it was a beautiful sunny day. And the house that we built had these magnificent windows that looked out over the mountains, across our land and up into the mountains in the distance. This was back in New Zealand, where I spent most of my life, where I came from. So I remember looking out there and thinking, you know, I've made it. This is it. I've done it. I've reached all my goals. I'm rich. I've got my dream home, the home I always dreamt of. I've got two businesses that are working for me. I've got the freedom to travel and do anything I want to do. So I should feel really amazing, shouldn't I? I should feel really great, grateful, so satisfied and so happy. But instead, I felt absolutely miserable. I was almost shaking with stress. I was almost in tears because I had so many problems in my life. You know, I had all this outward success, but I still had a lot of stress and problems. My marriage wasn't going well. It was like whenever you think your business is on track and your life is going well, and then all of these things show up, you know, somebody comes along and does something unexpected, and it just creates all of these problems all of the time. So I was incredibly unhappy, almost on the verge of, you know, just breaking down. And I remember saying to myself, apart from saying, this is crazy, is this really all there is? Is this what life's actually about, that you can never find that peace and happiness that you want? And then I remember saying to myself, you know, maybe I'd be better to get rid of all of this, get rid of everything I've got, if it means that I can save my soul. Because, you know, you have that feeling where you're just, your life force, your energy is being drained out of you, and you feel like there's nothing you can do about it. And it's such a place of pain. Well, you know, so say you should be careful what you think about, because it was literally within weeks that I did lose everything. And, you know, the house went, the marriage went, the businesses, everything just collapsed. And I just woke up one day almost with the clothes on my back, thinking, what's happened here? How did this happen? And I had to move back in with my elderly mother and sleep on the sofa in the living room of her small apartment. And that was a huge shift, you know. And if anyone's been through anything like that, you know, it's not just about losing everything you have, it's about losing your sense of who you are.
Right. Yeah,
I went
total
from being
identity.
A millionaire and, you know, business owner, husband, all of these, house owner, mansion owner, sleeping in a luxury bed, to this, to nothing. So I was totally confused, but I didn't realize that that was the rock, if you like, that changed everything in my life. And when my life changed, and it changed incredibly massively in a relatively short period of time, I wanted to figure out what I was doing differently. What was suddenly creating a life that, you know, you mentioned at the beginning that I'm a nomad. Well, you know, from going from having nothing to being able to sail around the world in my own brand new yacht, how did that happen? And I remember once sitting in the Greek islands on my yacht, another aha moment, where I woke up in the morning, we were anchored in the bay, my partner and I, and it was a beautiful day, no other boats around, beautiful blue water. If you've been to the Greek islands, you know how amazing it is there. Mm-hmm. But imagine being in your own bay with no other boats around, and you just go for a swim. And I got out, and I suddenly had another aha moment, thinking, is this really what it's all about? Because here I was, things were going amazingly well. I had two businesses again, but these ones were like running themselves almost from everywhere in the world. I could manage them from my boat, and I didn't have any problems and stress. That was the big difference. Yeah. And I said to myself, why has this happened to me? What's the difference? I don't know why a few years earlier, I'd been stuck on my mother's sofa and lost everything. My life was full of stress. And I asked myself, why did this happen to me? And I didn't know. Well, now I was in the Greek islands on my own yacht with no problems and living the dream life. And I still had that question, why has this happened to me? So it was that journey of trying to figure out what had happened to me, why I'd had all the problems, but why I had this amazing life, what the difference was. That's what led me to do what I do now, which is to share what I've discovered is the real key to getting what you want in your life and not getting what you don't want in your life. Right. And, you know, all of the work and study I'd done on success and all of these things, I realized none of those had been helpful, and they actually had missed the mark. And what I discovered was in a completely different place, and that's what I share now, because isn't that what we all want, is to figure out how we can live our dream life without stress and problems? Well, I know it's possible because I did it. I'm doing it, and I've helped many other people as well. But you have to think and be aware of things in a very different way to what most people are telling you. And that's what I'm sharing with people and hope to share with you and your audience a bit of.
I love this. I'm so excited to learn more. And I love the humility that you have, because it could be really an easy rabbit hole to fall into, to feel like this is all about you, that you did this, right? And I don't hear that in your voice at all. So I feel like that's the gift that I'm picking up already, is that you see that this is not specifically about you, but about how you're interacting with everything around you. So I would love to know, when everything fell apart, what was the thing that allowed you to get up and just continue to pick up the rocks and to continue to move forward? Because I know that there's people right now in my world and in the world that feel like their lives are falling apart. And they're going to hear this and say, well, that's great that you're on a yacht and Karen, you've got this or that, but my life is falling apart. How do they move forward?
Well, you know, I totally relate to people in that situation. And that's really, I mean, I'm not doing this probably like you. I'm not doing this for the money or my ego. I'm doing this because I can see how helpful these ideas were to me. And how it would have been great if someone had been there at the time I was going through all this problem, if you like, or my low point, and given me some insights and ideas that could help me see things differently and in a way that actually would help me rather than keeping me stuck. So really the process that what I did and what I discovered was the magic, if you like, or the science. And it's really science. There's nothing magical here about this. I'm not talking about, you know, some sort of law of attraction thing where you just miracles show up in your life for some reason. You know, this is all based on science, what I discovered. But how it actually happened for me was, yes, I was lying on my mother's sofa. Yes, I was completely stressed. Yes, I didn't know what was going on. And the two questions, I mentioned the first one, there were two questions that kept coming up in my mind as I was trying to get to sleep every night. The first one was, as I've already mentioned this, was, why has this happened to me? And I'm sure people listening, if you're going through a hard time or if you've had really traumatic things happen to you in your life, you ask yourself that question, why has this happened to me? I'm a good person. I didn't deserve this. I've been really trying with my life. I didn't intentionally go out to do anything harmful to anybody. How did this end up happening to me? And, you know, we start off feeling a bit resentful and a bit angry because it shouldn't happen to us. We're a good person. We don't deserve it. And it's true, you don't deserve it. So that was the first question. Why has this happened to me? And the second question was, well, what do I do now? Because here I was in a strange town with absolutely nothing to my name. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any, you know, all my business contacts and all my money had gone. I didn't feel that I had any opportunity. And I was so confused because I thought everything I've already tried hasn't worked. You know, if it worked, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
So those two questions, why has this happened to me and what do I do now? And, you know, the real breakthrough happened when I came up with the answer to both those questions. And the answer to both those questions was actually, excuse me, the same answer. And you know what the answer is? Why has this happened to me and what do I do now? The answer is, I don't know. I simply have no idea why this has happened to me. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds a bit of a cop-out, but what we don't realize is when you accept that you don't know the answers to why things are happening to you, what you do on a biological level, and we could talk about this a little bit in a bit more detail if you like, but you actually shift your biology. You go from a place of struggle, frustration, anger, bitterness, annoyance, and fear is at the core of all of those emotions.
Right.
You go from that to a state of what's sometimes called allowing. But on a biological level, you actually shut down a part of your brain that's blocking your success, and you activate another part of your brain, which I call your creative brain. This is a physical mechanism that happens in your brain. We can talk about what that is. But when you activate that part of your brain, which, as I say, sometimes we explain as allowing or letting go or doing all those things. They're a bit more airy-fairy, if you like, to what I'm talking about, but they explain it a little bit. But when you actually do that...
Yeah, I love that you're putting the science behind it, though. I love this.
Yeah. When you actually do that and you activate this different part of your brain, that's the part of your brain that's designed biologically to make sure that you thrive. Because the thing we've all forgotten about, we've never really been taught, is that we are governed by biology. You know, you can go around and you could do everything you want to do, but you can't overcome the natural laws of the way things work. I mean, it's as silly as standing on top of a 10-story building and saying, I'm going to jump off this building and I'm going to fly in the air. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to change my subconscious mind and change my beliefs and practice affirmations and, you know, write out in my journal all the reasons why I can and, you know, you can do all that stuff, but it's not going to override the law of gravity. The second you walk off, you're going to fall down. So we have this inbuilt biology, this inbuilt system that all of nature operates on, which is designed to make sure that every living thing survives by being the best that it can be, by thriving. Nature is built on thriving. If you look in the natural world, most of nature is succeeding. It's being the best that it can be. It's thriving. It's not struggling. Right. And we're the exception. We struggle. So nature is actually, it's just as, and this is just as natural and biological as walking, as the law of gravity. But we have this inbuilt biological system which operates through our brain, which is designed to ensure that we thrive, that we become the best that we can be, so that we have the greatest chance for survival, which is what every living thing is wired to do. To live for as long as possible so that we carry on the species. That's how biology works. So the thing is, things like problems and stress, and I know when we're living through problems and stress, we find this hard to believe, but when you think about it on a logical, scientific level, that doesn't, thriving does not include problems and stress, because problems and stress don't extend your life. They don't help you thrive. So on a logical level,
most
you have to say...
Most definitely not.
No. So you have to say, well, why do I have problems and stress? Mm-hmm. There's only one thing or one reason why problems show up in your life, and that is somehow the mechanism of thriving is not operating correctly in your life. And what I discovered was my old life, which was full of stress, full of problems, and ultimately losing everything, and that's a big rock, if you want to talk about rocks, absolutely, you know, your life's hard work being taken away from you, that's a big rock. So going from that to actually thriving and living the life that you really want to do, it's about using a different part of your brain. And when you do that, things unfold for you in the best way possible. And it's quite remarkable. And we talk about things like, you know, synchronicities or luck or coincidences. And these things started to show up in my life. You know, I remember when I had nothing, I started out helping somebody in their business, working in the back office. It was a retail store. And I worked in the back office part-time just to help out. And I walked out into the store one day just to get some fresh air because it was a bit of a dark cupboard in the back. And there was a man standing there. And he looked at me and he recognized me and I recognized him. We hadn't seen each other for 25 years. And he said, "Hey, Liam, what are you doing here? What are you up to?" And I wasn't quite dishonest, but I said, "Well, not a lot, actually." So he said, "Hey, I don't know if you're interested, but there's an opportunity for a business that's just come up next to where my business is. It'd be perfect for you," because he knew about me through business. And I said, "Well, that sounds great, but the problem is I don't have any money." And for whatever reason, and I still can't work it out, a few months later, there I was with my own new business again. And I was making good money again. Now, I don't know where all the money came from, but there were people who came along and things that happened to help me get to that place. So whether I called it luck or coincidence, you know, synchronicity, things just were happening. How did I meet that man, you know, in that situation? Mm-hmm. And then as things moved on, then I met a new partner and we developed a wonderful relationship, far different to any relationship I'd had before that. And then we went on a life adventure and we started traveling in our own motorhome and then moved to Europe and lived on our own yachts. And everything just kept falling into place all the time. And I thought, this is going to this is too good to be true. And then I realized there's got to be something more to it. There's got to be something more than just luck and coincidence, because it just keeps happening. And the big difference was, the big question I had was, how come before I tried so hard to be successful? I set my goals. I worked really hard. I went out and did every, you know, learnt every technique and every new thing I could, and really pushed hard. I was always working and trying my best. Why is it then I ended up with a whole lot of problems and stress and lost everything? And now here I am, being honest, I don't set any goals. I'm not out chasing after anything. Things are just showing up. Now, I'm putting in effort when they show up, but I'm not struggling. I'm not trying to figure things out all of the time. And that's when I realize it's these two parts of your brain. One is all about struggle and figuring out and stress, and it blocks you from thriving. It keeps you struggling. And the other part of your brain, there's actually four parts of your brain that all work together. I've created a four-part brain model about this, but there's another part of your brain. That part of your brain is your thriving part. And that part of your brain controls and determines things like your creativity. That's why I call it your creative brain. It's your imagination. It's your intuition. It's where you get those gut feelings about things, that little voice in your head. Now, that's not coming from your thinking. It's coming from somewhere else. You just get this idea. It's where you get inspiration and new ideas. You know, you've been working on a problem for weeks and you can't figure it out. And then all of a sudden you're doing something else and the answer comes to you and you think, that's the answer. Why didn't I think of that before? Where did that come from? All of these things are what we need to thrive. It's where our motivation comes from, or as I say, our inspiration. All of these great things, our intuition, our awareness, they all come from a different part of our brain. But if we don't use those parts, those particular qualities that I'm talking about, you're never going to thrive. That's what's there to give you the right ideas, to help you solve the problems, to make you avoid making more problems. And I used to be good at that. A lot of us are, aren't we? You know, create, and we go, why did I do that?
When we're meditating, or when we are journaling, or doing something, is that when we're tapping into that creative brain? Is that how that really is working? And we're thinking it's something else?
Well, there are lots of techniques for doing this. In fact, this is what I teach. But the most important thing is to understand how it works. Because when you understand that there is a part of your brain, well, firstly, when you understand that you're designed to thrive, that life isn't meant to be a struggle. And again, this is hard for most of us to believe, but we've been conditioned to think that life is a struggle. But if you go out into the natural world, life is not a struggle. Most things aren't struggling. They're thriving. So when you accept or understand, I should say, that life's not meant to be a struggle, you're not designed to struggle. You're designed to thrive. And you have this natural mechanism, which is your brain, which is the machine, if you like, that's there to ensure that happens. Then the only thing you need to realize is, how are you using it? Are you using it the right way, or are you using it the wrong way? And a good analogy is a motor car. You know, what is a motor car? You ask someone, what's a car? Well, it's just a machine, and it only has one job. It's designed to get you from where you are to where you want to go. And you don't have to think about it, worry about it, think it's not going to happen. You just sit back and enjoy the ride because you know how it works. But you have to drive it the right way. You can't get into it and not know what you're doing and keep the handbrake on and don't know how to switch the engine on, and you've got one foot on the accelerator and the other on the brake and all. You can't. It's not going to work. What's going to happen then? You're going to have problems. Problems are going to show up. It's going to be a struggle to get anywhere, if you get anywhere at all. And if you're lucky, you just damage the engine. If you're not, you blow up the whole car. So it's the same with the brain. And how it works, we can use meditation, we can use journaling and mindfulness, but what these are all doing is they are activating your creative brain, and they're shutting down the other part of your brain, the struggle part of your brain, which I call the survival brain, which is all about protecting you from danger and fighting off problems and enemies. So it constantly sees that you've got problems and enemies, and that's what creates the stress in your life, is the way your brain is interpreting what's going on. But here's how it works, and this is taught, actually, here's the secret in the mini version. We have these two brain states. One's called the sympathetic nervous system, which controls the struggle part of us, And the other is the parasympathetic nervous system, which activates the creative brain. And the creative brain, I should say, is this physical location right in the very center of your head. It's not a theoretical concept. It's not about conscious mind, subconscious. This is a physical location. Like you have a physical location for hearing and seeing and your emotions. So when you the way to activate this is to realize that of these two mental or emotional states, one, the sympathetic nervous system, which activates your struggle state, and the parasympathetic nervous system, which activates your creative state, the activator, and it's a lot more complicated than this, but here's the secret, the activator is fear. When you feel fear, stress, worry, anxiety, frustration, anger, all of those things, and they're all based on fear, on subconscious fear. When you feel that, what's actually happening in your brain is you're shutting down your creative brain and all your access to all of those thriving things. And you're telling your brain, you've got a problem here that you have to deal with, a danger. So forget trying to be creative and thrive. You've got to get rid of a danger in your life. Now, that was fine millions of years ago when lions were roaming around, and there were dangers in our life. So our brain had to recognize there's a threat to my survival. So stop all the thriving, divert all the energy and attention and physical energy to and mental energy to getting rid of that threat. Focus on the problem, on the danger. And we call this the fight-flight response, and we run away or we shout for help or we stand and fight. All of those things are this part of your brain at work to get rid of a problem. But what we don't realize is we don't live in a world anymore where there's lions and tigers running around, but we're still activating this part of our brain. So on a biological level, whenever you feel fear, and it doesn't matter what the justification is because your brain is creating it for a different reason to what you think, it's a subconscious reason. Whenever it activates that, you're going to stay stuck. Whenever you feel fear, stress, worry, and anxiety, you can't activate all of your thriving instincts, your creativity, imagination, resourcefulness, all of those things. And, you know, if people don't believe me about this, check out my website because I explain this in a lot more detail. But here's a good example. You know, when I started to really look into the science that fear activates the struggle part of the brain and deactivates the thriving part of the brain, I thought, where have I heard this before? And I realized every religious tradition talks about this. The Bible, 365 times in the Bible, it says, be not afraid.
Right.
Now, it's not saying that because this is some nice idea. It's an instruction on how you're designed to operate and how you're designed to thrive in this world. You're not supposed to be afraid. So it says, be not afraid. Don't activate the wrong part of your brain. Because if there's a God there, or an infinite intelligence who is expressing thriving through you, who wants you to have the best life possible, who doesn't want you to struggle, it can only do it through the machine that has been given to do that. It's given you a tool to deal with a danger when you need to, but most of the time you're supposed to be thriving. You're supposed to be creative, imaginative, making the right decisions, doing the right things, seeing things the right way so that they don't affect you in the wrong way. So I realized that the Bible, spiritual and religious traditions, even though we haven't interpreted in that way, they're giving us biological instructions about how your brain works. So the only game in town, the only thing you need to do is figure out why you feel afraid. And because 99.9% of the time you don't need to feel afraid. There's nothing there that's about to eat you or harm you. You don't so what you need to figure out is, what are the triggers? What are the things that are activating the wrong part of my brain? Because when that part of the brain is activated, you haven't got a hope of figuring out what you should do with your life, solving problems. And we know that's when we stay stuck and we go, I'm so stressed, what should I do to solve my problems? How can I be happy? What should my goals be? Why aren't, you know, how can I get out of the state that I'm in and get to somewhere better? When you're feeling stressed and worried, your brain can't show you the answers. It's only when you deactivate that part and activate your creative brain that all the right things show up in your life without them being a struggle. You know, that's what happened for me. It's like, how did that show up? I mean, you have an amazing brain. It makes things show up. Where did I get that idea from? Where did you get that idea from? This other part of your brain. So it's a bit of a long explanation. It's actually a lot more to it, but I hope that gives you a sense of
That's brilliant. And I'm just like, okay, yes, we all need to know more about this because these are things, what I'm hearing you say, these are all things within our control that we can choose to do. And I truly believe that moving these rocks in our life is about a choice that we're making. So we're either choosing to carry them, we're choosing to be afraid, or we choose to do something different and to release and allow. And I love that so much. So for someone that's hearing this and they're just enthralled as I am, what is the best way to learn more about what you do, what you teach? Because obviously it's way more than we could do in a 30-minute podcast. So how do we learn more from you?
Well, people are welcome just to come to my website, which is my name, liamnaden.com. And I do have a lot of information there. And really, I think it's all just, it's just about getting this. You know, this isn't complicated. Life is not supposed to be complicated. We've been conditioned to believe all the wrong things about life, that it's a struggle. And that, you know, when bad things happen to us, they're bad things. And, you know, I often think how lucky I am to be where I am. But if I hadn't been through what I've been through, I wouldn't be here to enjoy that. You know, it was the gift, if you like. We talked about that before. It's not a rock. It's a wrapped present. It's a gift waiting for you to unwrap it and see the absolute joy and gift that you have behind it. Because if people are going through hard times, you know, it's, if you think about this, I work with people both in groups, and I speak to a lot of groups, obviously, and I also help people individually and through my podcast. You know, isn't it just imagine how amazing it is when someone contacts you and says, you know, you've really helped me because you've been through what I'm going through now. And because you've been through it, I can hear that you really understand what I'm going through, and you're giving me hope, not only about that I will get through it myself, but that doesn't need to hold me back. It doesn't need to mean all these terrible things. And that's an incredible gift that I wouldn't be able to receive if I hadn't been through that experience myself. So, but at the time it seems so hard, but if you're going through this awful experience, maybe just think, maybe one day, maybe there's a reason why I'm having this experience, this awful experience. I'm designed to really know what it is on a deep level, because I'm going to be helping people who go through the same thing in the future. And, you know, how do I know that this hasn't been something that's been given to me to help change the world, to help other people, and to have other people the incredibly rewarding experience of changing other people's lives that I could never do if I hadn't been through this experience? So that's when you can 100%. See it as this gift.
I love that. Such a great reframe. Thank you for sharing that. I love the analogy of the rock being this beautifully wrapped gift, because when we choose to see it that way, then that can take the fear away. It can help us see it differently and see the opportunities in there. And that's, I think, the whole premise of us choosing to see this rock and moving it and seeing what it's taught us, the lesson, the gift. I love that. So just such an alignment with what I talk about and what I teach. So thank you for that. This has been just such a beautiful gift. I know that someone is hearing this and they're saying, well, that's great because he's a neuroscientist, or he's this, or he's that. They're making some assumptions about how you got to this place and how you were able to do this. Can you just share a little bit about how you learned the neuroscience of that? You don't have a neuroscience degree.
No, you're You're not a rocket scientist.
You're just a normal man who has done some amazing deep work in this.
Well, I've always only been interested in results. You know, what is the truth? I don't want to just learn some fancy thing that sounds great but doesn't create results. And that's what I found when I did all of the self-help and, you know, goal setting. And there's actually, we don't have time to talk about it, but I talk about it on my website. The science proves that goal setting is one of the worst things that you can do. It's self-sabotage. It's completely unnatural, which is why 99% of people never achieve their goals. And even if they do, they're not happy with them. There's a science behind that, but we don't have time to talk about that. But, you know, I tried all these things and they didn't actually work. And when I acknowledged that they didn't work, and then when I did something differently without for some, you know, by accident or design or whatever, I was doing something differently. I wanted to figure out what was it, provably, scientifically, not some fancy idea, scientifically proven that I could verify as to why my life was so completely different. And in fact, it also proved my life had been bad as well as good. And that's really led me down, you know, the problem with if you get pigeonholed in one area like neuroscience, you don't see the big picture. But right. That allowed me to see the big picture about that we are biologically designed. All of nature is designed in a particular way. So that's really how I developed this, both from practical experience and testing, and not just with myself, I should say, but observing others and helping others to try this different approach, if you like. But really seeing the results and then seeing how this, both science and, funnily enough, spirituality and religious teaching are both saying exactly the same thing on a provable scientific level. And that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about what creates the results in your life. That's all that matters, really. That is where truth comes from. So, yeah, that's how right. I developed this.
I love that. Well, thank you for simplifying it. I love complicated things being just broken down and simplified so that anyone can follow. And the fact that it's backed with real, tangible things that are undeniable. You don't have to have some made up belief system, or you could just look at the proof. And that just is so beautiful. So thank you for that, Liam. Please get connected. Follow him, liamnaden.com. We'll have all of the links, of course, in the show notes. But what a beautiful gift today that you've been for this, this part of my journey, my life. I never know what's going to happen on these podcasts, but it's always exactly what I need. So thank you. If no one else hears this, which I know they will, but if no one else hears this, I needed this today. So thank you for that. So
thank
much.
Thank you,
I appreciate
Karen. It's
it.
Been a gift to me as well. Thank you.
Wow. What a beautiful gift. I'm very envious. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Very envious of your lifestyle. So it's inspiring to me. And we talked a little bit about living the nomadic life. And I've got grandbabies that keep me in Texas, but I'm thinking I just need to take my grandbabies on the road and just let them tour. So I love that so much. But rock movers, you know, we say this every single time. Life is going to happen. Life is going to come your way. You've learned a new way to view it, to see it, and to now move through it with this beautiful gift of neuroscience and using the two sides of your brain. So take this, dive into it, and let me know what you think about it in the comments. And in the meantime, keep moving those rocks. We'll see you on the next episode. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there. And I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.